Jimmy the intern.
Yeah, wow.
Big twist.
Big twist.
Guys, really exciting show. We have a very exciting guest for you. Yep. We're going to bring out in a second. But first, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the Dark Knight Rises teaser, which is the new Dark Knight movie, the new Batman movie, is going to be playing before Harry Potter this week, which is pretty cool,
That's
right?
Exciting.
So I'm looking forward to that. But lucky us, we actually got to see a preview of the trailer. So we're
gonna reenact it for you guys.
Right now, so all right.
Let's set up the screen. This is gonna be the screen right here.
Oh, okay. This is the screen right here.
Yeah, right here.
Okay, this is the screen right here.
You have to say yes and guys.
Yeah, so what happens is people are like,
Harry Potter,
that's gonna be very good. Right, and then lights go down, and you see a preview screen, and then it cuts to blackness.
I'm Batman.
Black. That's it. There you go.
Oh, man.
Really gets me pumped for that movie.
Yeah, there's nothing. Wait till you guys see it.
it works a little better when Nolan's directing it. But otherwise, it's pretty much. Exactly. Guys, we have a very exciting guest. He has been an artist working for DC Comics and other comics for many, many years. So let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen, Jamal Igoe!
All right.
Oh, wow.
Wow, thank you so much for coming. We're very excited to have you here on the show.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure, man.
Hey, good, absolutely. Good. We're glad that we didn't force you to come here.
Well, somebody promised me beer.
I'll get it after the show.
Okay.
Cool. So, Jamal, you have a bunch of stuff that you're working on right now. Let's talk about the thing that's most immediate that's coming out tomorrow is you did some of the pencils for Superman 713.
Yes, I did.
So how'd that come about?
I was actually on vacation in Paris visiting my wife's family, and I had made the mistake of leaving my cell phone available while I was out of town because I was furiously fielding emails and answering questions, and the cell phone bill came back this week. It was like $683 for 2 weeks.
But that's fine. You're working on Superman, so it all paid back.
Oh, yeah, of course. It still sucks, but... So, 3 days before we're supposed to fly back, I get this call from Matt Idelson, who's the Superman editor, and he goes, "Are you home yet?" I'm like, "Why? What's going on?" It's like, I need a penciler for Superman. We got to do 713 and 714. I need somebody to pitch hit. Would you want to do it? Because I've been wanting to draw Superman since I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And I've made it very clear over the years at DC that this is something that I wanted to do. So I immediately said yes, knowing that the schedule was going to be, completely fecocked.
That's an industry term.
Yeah. So that's basically what happened. I mean, it was really just, I got home, I maybe had 2 days to sort of get my head together, got a script, and just started working as soon as possible.
Oh, so you didn't have to cut your vacation short.
No. Well, there was no way I was going to be able to either way. I didn't have any, I purposely this time, because usually when I go, whenever I go to France, I bring my sketchbook or whatever.
Oh, same.
And then, well, yeah. I purposely did not take anything with me. But I figured what I'll do is I'll do the thumbnails for the book while I'm on the plane. That way, once I get settled, I can just shoot them the thumbnails. So I actually ended up having, they have these grocery stores called Monoprix. And these, it's like little, Walmarts, basically. They sell everything. You can buy USB keys, you can buy pencils, paper, whatever. So I went and bought...
Pencil and paper.
Yeah. we saw, a frozen pizza and a picture and some glasses for, C0. So...
Sounds like a really good store.
Yeah. It is surprisingly good. But anyway, so I'm like flying back from Paris with a script in one hand and, just furiously doing thumbnails And the other through the whole flight, like when the wife's asleep, the baby's asleep. Well, she's not so much a baby anymore. But and I'm just like, oh God, how am I gonna do this in time? But it worked out, you know. Worked out, and I finished 6:13 and got the script for 7:13.
Oh my God,
7:13 and 7.
You went back and redrew.
Yeah,
6:13. She's like, that was bad.
Yeah. So I just literally finished the last four pages for 7:14 on Friday and handed those in. So
having spent most of your life since you were 5 years old wanting to draw Superman, was it everything you dreamed it would be?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Well, you know, being such a huge mark when it comes to anything Superman related, like watching every single season of Smallville in spite of myself.
Wow. You got a couple
Yeah, I know. But it is something that I would love to take a much bigger shot at, mm-hmm. at some point when the opportunity presents itself again.
Yeah.
And it was just something that I've always wanted to do, and just something that just came so easily to me. You know, it's very rare when you feel that great a connection to a character, and I've always felt just this great affinity for Superman as a character, so it just came out. Yeah.
We were talking about this a little bit backstage, but what is your take on Superman? How do you approach him artistically?
How do I approach him artistically? Yeah. I think for me, like, especially with these two issues, I, instead of trying to sort of emulate, you know, what somebody else has done, like, you know, when I think of Superman artists, the first person usually pops into my head is Kurt Swan, followed by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Oh, wow.
So, but instead of trying to emulate what they were doing or emulate what anybody else was doing or trying to make him look like Chris Reeve or trying to make him look like, you know, plug, you know, actor X in there, I just decided that I was going to do my version of Superman, the way that I saw Superman in my head. And the way that I see Superman for myself is sort of like a father figure, almost. Like, he can be kind, but he can be stern when he needs to be, but you also know that sternness is coming from a place of love and affection. Like, you know, so the way that I see Superman and Clark Kent as a character is that Superman always comes down to one statement is, I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not trying to do things for us, but he sees himself more like a cop more than anything else. You know, he's just another servant of the law, mm-hmm. you know, trying to do the right thing because he has the power to.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that because the sketches you were showing us, the face was so awesome, so expressive, and like the difference between the earlier panels where he was lighter and then had that kind of father's
strength. Right, exactly.
And I was like, oh man, I'm in trouble. I'm gonna clean my room right now. I don't know.
But that's how he comes across. That's how Chris writes him in this. Chris Roberson. That's how he writes him in the script. It's very much like, young lady, what have you done?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk about the issue a little bit. It's kind of an interesting issue to be drawing because it's the last issue of the Grounded arc, and for those of you in the audience who don't know, it's also the last issue of Superman before the entire DC universe is relaunched or rebooted or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So it's actually the last time we will ever see this iteration of Superman. So I imagine there's no pressure on you whatsoever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely not. I actually... It came up, like, the idea really didn't strike me until I was about halfway through, and then I was like, oh, shit. people were actually going to, like, this is going to be, you know, this is sort of our generation's version of, you know, For the Man Who Has Everything, you know, or you know, whatever happens in The Man of Tomorrow. You know, you're close, I'm closing out an era of Superman, and it's weird to think about it in those terms.
Yeah. So is the I imagine the last page in some way is a very iconic shot.
Oh, of course.
Anything
of
you
course.
Can tell us about that?
Oh, well, I mean,
it's
you
him
know,
being like,
you, well, yeah, if you know how, you know, whatever happened to Man of Tomorrow ends, then you'll get an idea of what the last page is like. So.
Cool. I don't know how much you can talk about this, and we'll probably be nudging you about it throughout the show.
Okay.
But do you? What's your feeling on Superman's new look post relaunch?
Exactly. I'll be honest. I'm having trouble with it.
Okay.
Just because that's not my Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the Superman that I grew up with. So. And it's kind of indicative of sort of like the, you know, Kryptonian Man thing, that the storyline that they did, or, you know, Electric Blue Superman,
mm-hmm.
waiting for the other four Power Rangers to show up. it's another attempt to, you know, update the character, sort of. But I don't think Superman is the character that you really need to update. You know, you don't... I don't think Superman really needs to be made relevant. Superman's one of those characters who will always be relevant,
mm-hmm.
simply by being who he is as a character. If you stay true to those things that make him Superman, then he automatically becomes relevant in terms of the rest of the DC universe. You know. So. I don't know. I don't like the collar. I think
Now, another thing that you're working on that you're wrapped up at this point is Satana.
Right.
Who was you're working on for a while.
Yes.
What was it like working on that character?
Confusing. No, it was fun, but at the same time, you know, while we were doing, you know, I was working with three different writers over the course of five issues, which was a little nerve-wracking,
mm.
because, you know, you had, you know, Paul, who did one issue, and then I think I worked on two Adam Beechin stories, and then Zatanna 15, which comes out this month, is written by an anchor, Derek Friedhoffs.
Oh,
and he's branching into writing now, so that this is, I guess, his first, either first or second, like, published story, something like that.
Oh wow!
So it was cool. I mean, the thing is I was trying to sort of go outside of what people expected me to do. If you know, people who knew my work from Supergirl,
mm-hmm.
and you know, famously, like the whole you know shorts controversy, you know, thing. But I was trying to actually go in a slightly different direction with Zatanna visually, to try to make her sexier and try to, but you know, to a certain point, you know, because you know, in the end, I'm still me. You know, I see things a certain way. I'm not going to automatically turn it to Ed Benes,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because of whatever character I end up working on. So I had to find a way to do Zatanna my way, and I think it worked out. I think we all, because I had heard rumors about the whole relaunch, reboot thing back in February.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So I knew something was coming down. So I knew that, you know, if, you know, certain things were wrapping up, and I knew that Paul was definitely trying to wrap up his story, but he needed more space to tell his story with Brother Knight. And,
mm.
And there just wasn't space for it mm-hmm. to happen. So, yeah.
From an artistic perspective, I don't know if you've noticed this, but since you worked on Supergirl, and you did work on Zatanna,
right.
they both didn't have pants.
Right.
And that's certainly been a big issue and a big, you know,
right.
focused discussion, because literally nothing bad is going on in the world right now. When we're talking about the DC relaunch, people are talking about pants versus no pants.
Right.
Are you pro or anti pants?
I think it depends on the character, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and I've always made the argument that, you know, with Zatanna, you know, her day job is sexy stage magician. I mean, you're not, you know, automatically going to put, you know, pants on her. Same thing with Power Girl. Part of Power Girl's whole shtick, you know, from the days when Wally Witt was drawing her, was always about her, you know, being this, you know, super feminine superhero in spite of, you know, dressing in this really skimpy outfit with, mm-hmm. you know, giant boobs. So I think it honestly depends on the character. And I mean, even if you look at like the solicitations, like there are characters without pants on, you know, the Starfire's new costume, you know, it's all spirit gum. So I'm not pro or anti pants. I, you know, I'm just like, pants or pantsless. Doesn't give them, I don't give a damn.
It looks like you guys are anti-pants.
Not a fan.
I'm also barely wearing anything up top. Cool.
I've got on pasties underneath.
You too?
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Cool. Last little thing. I know you really can't talk about this too much at all, but what is coming up for you post-relaunch?
I do have something coming up. It is for DC. I can't talk about it.
Any idea when we will know?
Probably, if not San Diego, then definitely by Baltimore.
All right.
So definitely by August, because November solicitations come out before Baltimore.
Well, let me try asking you this.
Okay.
How geeked are you about working on? Are you really excited? Are you just regular excited?
Do you hate your job?
No. I'm geeked. I am a little bit geeked about it. Because it'll be I don't even know how much I can say.
All right.
I'm going to be working with two people that I've been wanting to work with for a while. So as far as they are a writing team, and as they are a known writing team.
Ooh.
So, you know, it should be
Abbott and Costello.
Sonny and Cher.
That's exciting.
Sonny's coming back from the grave to write comic books.
Man, he's not a fan of pants.
No, not at all. Or trees.
Right. Right, I think we're going to end on that. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
First thing. Actually, the idea of the stack here is Pete and I have each made two picks, some comic books that stood out to us over the past week. So we're going to chat about them a little bit.
Yeah.
First one's my pick, if you don't mind, Pete.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Great. It's
Mr. No Pants.
Love it. It's hot outside.
Is it?
Yeah, it's very.
It's so hot.
I have no follow-up for that.
It's so hot, we're not wearing pants. Fear Itself, number 4, is my first pick, which I got to tell you, when I started off with this series, this Marvel's big event that's going on right now where giant mystic hammers are falling on the earth and people are going crazy and fear is spreading everywhere, I wasn't crazy about the first issue. I was not a huge fan of the first issue. I thought the art was great. I thought what Stuart Eminem and his team are doing on this book is superb. They're doing some amazing superhero art. But it wasn't until last issue that I started to find it really exciting. And
once
big.
All the hammers got passed out, then
yeah.
you could get
yeah.
on
board. Okay. Well, that's the same thing. Like, you know, when I'm at a dinner and they have a pie, can you just pass out the pie already so we get this started?
Yeah.
So same thing as that.
Okay.
But this issue I thought was great. The structure of it, it's propulsive the entire time. There's some amazing stuff where they're showing basically Thor's father, Odin, and his brother, who's called the Serpent, who is the god of fear, are facing off. The Serpent wants to destroy Earth. Odin says, in order to destroy the Serpent, we have to destroy Earth.
Right.
So they're kind of, you know, in agreement. But at the same time, they're facing off against each other.
Well,
and
I'm still trying to figure out if the Serpent is supposed to be Vili or Ve.
What?
Odin's brother is Vili and Ve.
Oh, boy, you just nerded out in a whole new way.
I took comparative mythology in college.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely playing with some mythology stuff in there, but it really is about, hey, let's hit people as hard as we possibly can.
Exactly. Which is great.
And it's great, and it's actually starting to feel really fun and exciting in a big action movie way.
Absolutely. I think that, like you, I had a few problems story-wise with the first issue. I thought it dragged a little bit, but I understood that they were trying to build tension between Thor and Odin, especially in trying to build that. And it's something that Fraction's actually been doing since he took over the Thor series with Pasquale Ferry, was sort of rebuilding that tension between Thor and Odin, especially when he brought Odin back after specifically telling Thor not to bring him back.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of this is exciting stuff. You know, Stuart Immonen,
yeah,
I can never say his name right.
Yeah.
But I have worshipped this man's work since his days on Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And even before, even when he was doing a Legion of Superheroes back in the early 90s.
Oh, wow.
So, and I actually gushed all over him in Baltimore.
Nice!
Because it was the first time I'd met him face to face, and I was just went on for about 3 minutes about how awesome he was. And Catherine was sitting next to him, and I think I said something like, "Oh, but I've heard really nice stuff about your work, too."
Oh, man.
Well, it's nice to know that, you know, you can geek out on somebody, so it's got to be nice when you're on the other end of the table and then someone's nerding out on you.
It is. It's actually kind of funny. Because I was at C2E2 this year, I was hanging out with Chris Sotomayor. He's a colorist friend of mine, and he introduced me to another colorist, Rochelle Rosenberg, who apparently is a big fan of mine, and like literally like climbed underneath the table when she found out who I was, and I was like, "Are you okay?" So it's. I still have, like, I couldn't talk when I met Jose Luis Garcia Lopez for the first time.
Wow.
And he's such a sweetheart. And I just couldn't, my friends had to, like, "Mr. Garcia Lopez, is this Jamal Igel?" You know, he's a big fan of yours. He'd like to say hello. So I'm same thing with Alan Davis. Like, the first time I met Alan Davis, I was tongue-tied. I think the only thing that came out of my mouth was, "I thought comics too."
Smooth.
Exactly. I am a master wordsmith.
Awesome. What did you think of Fear Itself?
It's very cinematic. The panels are amazing. And yeah, once I got past the Oprah moment of like, "You get a hammer, you get a hammer, you get a hammer," I've been really on board. Matt Fraction, you know, is a fantastic writer and a really nice guy. And it's great to see him handling this huge event so well, you know.
Yeah.
So I am getting a little tired of the printed interview, though. I'm like, all right, yeah, I know.
Do you read it every time?
Every time. I'm like, God. He repeats it over and over. It's like,
right.
Oh, dude.
My favorite thing that's in a comic book right now, they're running tons of Captain America tie-in stuff. They have the Captain America lunch boxes, and they have Captain America tie-in with Orbit gum. But my favorite one is, they have a tie-in with ham. It's Captain America brand ham. Totally serious.
No. There is nothing that says America more than ham.
Yeah. Anyway, I've only seen
it. A ham ad.
I've only seen it once, so I may have dreamed it.
Okay. All right. I think you were hungry and fell asleep with a comic book like this.
I was eating a ham off of my shield. So there was that. All right. Let's move on with one of your picks, Pete. Secret Six, number 35.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, you want to talk about this issue a little bit?
Yeah. This Secret Six has been an amazing series that Gail Simone's been doing, really kind of doing an amazing job of humanizing villains instead of them just being bad people. We never get to see their side. It's this group of individuals that are horrible, but also likable, and it's so weird. And they just like, she does a great job of like taking turns and giving somebody the focus. And in this one, we have like Bane, who's kind of coming up with an evil master plan. It's wicked and amazing, and it's cool because normally you get to see bad guys' plans foiled, but it's nice to see them kind of come up with it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's great use of all the different characters on this team, and it's also funny. Like, I love how the giant shark man is like, "I'm a shark, I'm a shark," and it's like running at people. I thought it's, yeah, she does an amazing job with Bane, and he's so kind of like stiff, and you know, as an individual, and also the way he talks, it's so cool, and I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, this comic is great. This is definitely one of my favorite comics. I'm bummed that this is the second to last issue, and it's not necessarily coming back after the relaunch.
It has to.
Yeah, I mean, Gail Simone has said that it probably is coming back at some point, but there's no plans as of now, at least what she said. Yeah, it's this character King Shark, and he sings a King Shark song as he's going down the hill, which I think is King Shark, King Shark, King Shark, King Shark, King Shark, or something.
something like that. It's great. It's really funny.
I'm a shark.
Yeah. It's great. It's really funny stuff, but at the same time, it's kind of, this issue in particular is very sad because clearly it is coming to the end of the run, and I think we're getting towards, they're going to have that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid moment at the end of the next issue, and they know it. They've spent the past couple of issues, they literally went to hell and came back again, and what they found out in hell is, hey, you guys have done so much bad stuff, no matter what you do, you're going to hell. So they decide, okay, you know what? We're going to go out in a blaze of glory, killing Batman and all of his friends. That's
yeah,
what
we're gonna I love do. How Bane also calls Batman the detective. That's kind of cool.
So, I mean, clearly they know they're not going to survive after the next issue, but at the same time, that's how they want to go out, and there's kind of beautiful, something beautiful and sad about it, and funny.
Did you see the ham ad? What happened?
No, I'm looking. There's a panel where they're feeding the penguin to King Shark, and he's going, "Penguin pots, nummy, nummy, nummy. I bet I can't eat just one."
It's a great comic. If you haven't, even though it's ending, go back, pick up the trades. It's one of my favorite villain series and one of my favorite series of all time. All right, let's move on. Next pick is from one of our favorite writers on the show and Pete's favorite person overall, I think. Greg Pak is Red Skull Incarnate, number one limited series. Okay, all right. Cool. I'm guessing a lot of, from the Clapter, not a lot of you have picked it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there we go. A while ago, Greg Pak did a series called Magneto Testament, which went into the history and the past of Magneto. It was a really beautiful, really gorgeous series.
Heart-wrenching, amazing
series. And this is doing the same thing with the Red Skull, but the fascinating thing here, Magneto, over time, has become an anti-hero. You know, he has really poignant, really sad parts in his past, even though he was a mutant terrorist and for most of his time a bad guy. Red Skull has never been a good guy.
Yeah.
He's always been, in fact, he's an evil Nazi is what he is. He's the worst of the worst. Yeah. So to find the worst guy of Nazi. There's some good Nazis.
Oh, my God.
I stand by it. Look, a lot of stuff happened last night that I don't want to talk about. Most of it involving ham.
Eating ham off a shield, playing with Nazis. What's wrong with you? Yeah.
The Nazis gave me ham. They're like, "You're Jewish, right? You want some ham?" And I was like, "Is it Captain America ham?" Anyway, this is another great series. Beautiful art in here, but Greg Pak's writing is top-notch. While he goes into... It's this kid starts out in a bad place.
All right, well, I want to get into this because I think Greg Pak is an amazing writer. I didn't know what was happening in this story.
Yeah.
It's a kid, and, like, he's trying to help a puppy, but then he just gets beaten up. Like, what? What happened?
Well, it's showing... Okay, so this is Johann Schmidt. Is the guy who, the kid who eventually becomes the Red Skull.
Joe Schmidt.
Yeah. That's what they usually called him. Yeah. And he's in an orphanage. It's a terrible orphanage. There's a horrible, bad father figure in the orphanage who is showing him the wrong way to look at the world. But as most of us know, when you have that one father figure, even if you hate them, they're the person who influences your life. So what Greg Pak is showing us here is this guy, even though he beats him, even though he teaches him the wrong lessons, he follows him, and he sets him down the wrong path.
Yeah, that's the weird part for me, because he kept like running away from this guy, but then running back to him, and I was like, just keep running, what are you doing, bro?
Well, if you have no place else to go.
Yeah, I guess. But
if you feel like, you know, the entire world's against you, that's basically, you know, the feeling that I got from reading this, is, you know, he didn't have any place else to go. This guy was his entire world.
Yeah. Yeah, there's also, just to mention, I chatted with Matt Wilson a little bit when I was down in Charlotte. He did the colors for this book, and there's a neat little color thing that he does throughout the series where only things that influence the development of the Red Skull are colored red in the book. So once you see that, you kind of can't unsee it, but it's kind of a neat little trick that he does that I liked a lot. I thought it was a great issue.
What, solidly in color? What will they think of next?
Yeah, right. All right, last thing we're going to talk about, this was your pick, was Batman, Knight of Vengeance. Number two, which is tying it to DC's Flashpoint event.
Yeah!
Woo! Defend yourself!
Well, this, I'm not defending Flashpoint as an event here, I would just like to say this book has an amazing team of Brian Azzarello and I'm completely
blank. Eduardo Russo.
Yeah, and Eduardo Russo together Russo. Again. And anytime those two are together, I'm there. And this series is...
They're getting together across town right now.
Well, I'm out.
Okay.
It's just great. It's and this is dealing with kind of a different Batman, a meaner Batman, which is very enjoyable for me. It's just kind of fun because normally you know Batman wouldn't do something, but then you get to see this Batman do that. Right. You know, like there's this amazing scene where this guy ate, I think it was pizza or something.
Yeah, a slice of pizza.
Yeah, that the Joker had poisoned and he was slowly dying. And Batman just walks over and goes, "Cook." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's so awesome!" He just kind of walks off, and I was like, "That is amazing."
I think the thing that I liked about this issue, is you're getting this view of Gotham, which is normally an incredibly bleak city, and then you're really like sending it to hell.
Yeah.
This version of Gotham is. If you can imagine it being 10 times worse, it's actually 10 times worse. And the Batman fits that version of Gotham. You know, it is a brutal city, it is a corrupt city, and it, you know, Batman is just as brutal and in a lot of ways just as corrupt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's a fun ride.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The reveal at the end. Oh my God.
Yeah, I almost jumped out of my seat.
It's great. This is definitely easily the best of the Flashpoint miniseries that is going on. It's a great book. It really actually reminds me a lot of Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale's Batman stories,
right.
Both in terms of look and in terms of feel, which is a great thing because those are some of my favorite Batman things of all time. Definitely pick it up. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, we are going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Boothman! Who, it should be mentioned, lives in the booth, and that's why he's dressed like that.
This question is for someone, but it's not addressed to anyone, so I'll let you guys figure it out.
Okay. Right.
Probably Pete.
Props. Now that you're not doing Supergirl...
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take this.
What projects are you on?
What are you on?
I can't talk about it.
Yeah. None of them?
Oh, no. I talked about the stuff that I've been doing. You know, Zatanna comes out. Superman 713 comes out tomorrow. Zatanna comes out, I guess, next week or the week after. I haven't looked at the schedule. And then nothing until November.
Yeah, your Superman stuff looks amazing.
Thanks,
yeah.
Guys.
Now, but okay, let's just sort of push this a little further. Can you confirm that what you're working on is on pages?
Yes.
Okay, does it have pencils?
Yes, it does.
Is it a comic book?
Yes, it is.
There you go.
Great journalism work.
That's why they pay me to do the show.
You get paid? You get paid?
We'll talk about this later. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Wait, someone's got to raise their hand.
Who asked that question?
Own up.
Yeah. The guy with the Superman t-shirt.
Nice.
If you could bring back any series being lost, I like that term, in the DC relaunched, which would it be?
If I could bring back any series that's being lost?
Yeah.
In the DC relaunch. Oh, wow. That's actually a loaded question because there's a lot of stuff that I don't think should have been canceled. But
gotta pick one.
I gotta pick one. The Stephanie Brown Batgirl. I honestly like what Brian Miller was doing on that book, and I think it's sort of a shame that she's sort of being lost in the shuffle. So I'm hoping that they do something with her.
We already covered mine, but Secret Six actually is the book that I'm totally going to miss probably the most, just because it was one of my favorite titles, period. So hopefully they bring it back in some form with Gail Simone still on it.
I'm just upset with all the stuff.
Good answer.
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah. Is there anything that you'd like to see come back?
I don't know everything that's being canceled, and if I did, I would become enraged, so I'm trying to enjoy my ignorance.
Yeah. DC actually canceled Wolverine and Punisher. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Regarding the Green Lantern movie, why do Hollywood costume slash character designers insist on improving on classic and timeless character designs, and how does it make artists like Jamal feel to see it?
What's your take on that?
On the Green Lantern costume in particular, or just...
I mean, that's just an example.
Well, just an example. Well, I mean, here's the thing. There are certain things that you can do on paper that you just can't or shouldn't replicate on the movie screen because, honestly, it looks stupid.
Oh, he's getting serious. The glasses.
The Green Lantern costume, I honestly didn't have that many problems with the Green Lantern costume. You know, they
You're getting looks, my friend.
I know. But I didn't. Was I, thrilled with the movie? Not really. But but as far as the costume went, I didn't think there were that many problems. Because the thing is, it's like I spend a lot of time, more time than I probably should, like hanging out on superhero hype in the movie forums. So, I get into all these arguments about costume design and everything. I think it depends on the character. I think it's hard. There are certain looks that are just very hard to replicate, on an actual human being. You can't really do a sculpted, spandex costume without it putting some kind of padding in it because spandex just doesn't do that. It compresses. It automatically compresses as soon as you put it on. That's part of the form and function of spandex.
You know a lot about spandex.
Yes, I do. I've designed quite a few costumes over at DC and other companies. So I do, unfortunately, spend a lot of time thinking about the mechanics of this stuff and how this stuff works. So
actually, this is a little sidestep that I'm going to put in here. I don't know if you saw there was a big hoo-ha online about this today, but they released the second cover for Red Hood and the Outsiders.
Yeah.
And there's a shot of Red Hood and his legs, and he's jumping up in the air like this. This is Jason Todd. And the spandex is so tight that there's apparently a very visible penis and scrotum on the cover.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So is that a good thing or a great thing?
I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time looking at anybody else's penis but mine.
How much
fun
time?
It's a fun fact. I'm glad that you opened up. I know something is getting erased in production.
Yeah.
Before that issue goes to print.
Yeah. Well, I'll search it out before then.
Yeah. You can't do stuff like that. I mean, just because kids are still gonna in spite of what people tell you, kids do still actually read comic books. They are gonna see this stuff. And you we may not have the comics code, but the PTC, the parents, or was it the PTL or whatever?
PTA.
The Parents Research Council or the
PLO.
The PLO. It's some woman in a van down by the river somewhere in the Midwest somewhere who spends her time writing TV shows and complaining about how many times they say booger on the air. You've got people like that who are kind of on the lookout for that sort of thing. So, it's superhero comics. You really don't want to be having, giant peenies wangling around, unless you're reading Faust. I mean...
well, what do you guys think, just to get back to the question really quickly, about superhero costumes on screen in general?
For me, when I see something that I love on the big screen, this is like, all right, this is taking on something I love from the comic and bringing it up here. Hopefully, in that transition, I don't feel like, who is that guy?
Right.
And sometimes you get that. And the Green Lantern, all that aside, it's like you want to pay homage to the people who love the character first and not feel abandoned. So it's that thing of like trying to make it accessible to everybody and not upsetting the comic book fans.
But the problem that you run into with that is you can also be too slavish to the comic book design, mm-hmm. or trying to copy those comic book sensibilities, and it really does end up looking a little silly.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to balance what looks good on the screen versus what looks good on the paper while still be, I think, like the you know, the Batman costumes, even like the Burton Batman costumes have all sort of, you know, had that form and function kind of tied in together, but still kept those iconic elements that make Batman Batman while making it palatable for a movie-going audience, an outside audience, you know. Because, you know, it's not that big a leap of logic, you know. You're not asked, even if you're doing minor changes, you're not asking people to people too much. I mean, you know, people get used to it. I mean, look at Transformers. Yeah. I was one of those people who was just like, how come Optimus Prime isn't a snub-nosed cab anymore? Yeah. Why? You're destroying my childhood. But, you know, the movies made a shit ton of money. I mean, you can't really...
Yeah, but it's tough because I went to the Transformers movie and I was like, this isn't for me. This was made for me, and it was upsetting, and
right.
I didn't go back.
Why doesn't Megatron turn into a handgun?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I wanted to know. Another question. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Without being super creepy about the whole thing, you've
great.
Already lost.
Yeah.
What was the first comic character to make you, what's the word? Boner-tastic.
Wow.
Well,
I love how they went out of their way to try to be PC and then go boner-tastic.
Yeah. What's the word?
Yeah.
That was it.
This is going to get creepy for you.
This is a comic
book character? Because I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say Kitty Pryde, and that's creepy.
Well, this is the first one, so maybe if you were a kid at the time.
Ooh, right.
Oh, boy.
Jonah. Do we really have to answer this?
Yeah, Pete. What gave you a boner?
Oh, man. I mean, that was the thing. You know, back in the day, I was getting random boners. Like, I'd be in math class, and I'd be like, why do I have a boner right now? That's weird.
So your answer is math class.
Yeah,
math class.
All right.
I mean, I guess we could say, what was the first comic book that you were like, oh, man, that's kind of sexy?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
No, boner testing.
And it's character or comic book?
I put the question. Character.
Oh, boy.
Wait, comic book? You get turned on by just comic book?
This is a great show for me.
That's why he has the desk.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why he wouldn't be able to. Totally. Don't worry about it. Out of play. Kitty Pryde. If anybody else wants to answer that question.
Sandra Peele from Nexus.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That was like the first character. I was like, ooh, she's cute.
It had to be Electra for me.
Really?
Yep.
Nice. Cool. All right. Or have we run out of comics?
That was the last one.
Who asked that?
Raise your hand if you
asked that. Nobody wants to cop up to it.
Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics, and then we're going to beat you up. No, seriously, you'll get some free comics if you ask.
Maybe they'll come up to us. You know.
All right. So since we have a bunch more questions, we're going to go through them. We're going to do a little bit of a lightning round, get through everything where the first answer usually is the correct one.
The next one gets comics.
Oh, okay.
That's the one to cop up.
Okay.
All right. Well, one more question for free comics.
Okay. This kind of goes back to the whole costume thing. Isn't it hot wearing a spandex costume in the summer? And how do heroes avoid heat stroke? It's a very PSA kind of.
There's vents. There's venting, netting, you know, webbing, you know, strategically placed crotch, you know, the assless chaps.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's Superman's new costume.
Exactly.
Superman's new
yeah,
costume.
Not a fan.
No fans.
There you go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You get some free comics.
All right.
Okay. All right. Now, lightning round. Let's do it.
How long till they undo the DC reboot?
I'm not answering that one. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, somebody brought up a really valid point the other day, which is if you're not going to keep going with numbering, why wouldn't you just what happens when they get to issue 12? You know, at that point, it's not necessarily new reader friendly. So do they go back to issue 1 at that point?
No, issue 1, volume 2.
Yeah, which I think is actually fine. I don't necessarily have a problem with, but they're never going back. So take that. Yeah. Next question.
What three creators would you put in a cage match, and who'd win?
Wow.
Ooh. Well, the correct answer is Rob Liefeld for any of them. But who are the other two?
Jimmy Palmiotti seems kind of like a badass dude.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you're looking at this all wrong. You need big guys. You want a cage match. I would pick Chris Cross, Mike Norton, and Tom Fowler, because each of those guys are over 6'3".
Wow.
It would be entertaining at the very least. Well, you know, Norton would probably just sit in the corner like, why am I even in here?
Cool.
I didn't do anything.
That was the correct answer. Let's get the next question.
How would you fix the Green Lantern movie? Fix.
Start from scratch.
Yep. At first, yeah.
No, I gotta say, I mean, we've talked about this on the show. I think the Earth stuff, for the most part, totally sucked. The dialogue between Carol Ferris and Hal Jordan was pretty terrible. But I actually kind of enjoyed the space stuff, and the end of the movie I thought was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I know I'm in the minority there, but I actually kind of enjoyed that. So I even would have wanted them to concentrate entirely on... He gets sucked off. He gets sent to training, and it's like a basic training type movie on Oa.
Right.
And then he's forced to save.
That was one of the problems that I had was they had this like 5-minute training sequence, and then he just gets a little gets knocked on his butt by Sinestro. It's like, that's it. I quit. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going home. But I'm taking your magic ring with me.
That's like if you're a cop. You sign up for police academy, you're like, here's your gun, and you're like, I'm out of here.
I can keep the gun, right?
Yeah, and they're like, bang. I solved a crime. I solved one crime. There was that helicopter, and I shot that helicopter. Anyway, let's get the next question.
What new false rumors can we start about the DC relaunch?
It's going to be awesome.
Let's get the next question. That was the correct answer.
No. Last question. What other heroes would you like to see in shorts?
Prez, Brother Power, Swamp Thing. Hey, if Big Bang Boom can wear shorts, so can Swamp.
Yeah. And that's it for audience questions. Thank you for joining. All right. Guys, we're now going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Hooray! All right, first thing we're going to talk about, we joked a little bit about the top of the show, but there is going to be a Dark Knight Rises teaser that's going to be played for Harry Potter on Friday. What do you want to see in a teaser? What will get you totally stoked for the movie? What are you excited? And what will you be disappointed if they don't include?
Oh, man. I'm going to literally go and pay for the Harry Potter movie, watch the trailer, and then leave.
The trailer for Happy Feet 2, right?
Yeah. Happy Feet 2.
Nice.
Okay. What would I like? Well, I'm assuming that it'll go in the same vein as the other two teaser trailers that they did, where you're not going to see that much.
Yeah.
Or you'll see something akin to what they did with the poster, which is a triumph of graphic design. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. But I'm expecting something in that vein, maybe like the buildings of Gotham, like, reaching up towards the heavens, forming the bat symbol, something like that, with like a voiceover, and that's what I'm expecting. What I would love to see is a full shot of Tom Hardy as Bane.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. But you're not going to see that yet.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think this is not going to happen with the teaser trailer, but I would totally lose my mind if the trailer ended with him saying, "I will break the bat." That would be awesome, right?
Or they could just dub, Dolph Lundgren from Rocky. I must break you.
There you go. We made the teaser trailer part two. Next, we're going to move on to, I don't know if any of you guys have played DCU Online, but several months after it launched, they just added a new Green Lantern section, probably in honor of the movie. Is that going to make you play DC Online?
No. I don't play video games, so...
Yeah. What?
I don't!
Get out!
I have no time!
Last little bit, we're going to talk about your.
I'm kidding.
All
Heads up. Last thing we're going to talk about, we're going to find out more about this at San Diego Comic-Con, but Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness are launching a new title from Marvel, and the only teaser was a black page with five blank spaces, and next to it the word Reborn with an exclamation point. Can't wait, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think it's going to be? Who is going to be reborn?
Niles reborn. Niles the Bouncing Cat reborn.
I really thought you were talking about Niles from Frasier.
I can work too.
I mean, win-win.
Ed McGuinness, also, Ed McGuinness on David Hyde Pierce.
That just sounds wrong.
But so right. What do you think?
I don't know.
Pete, what do you want to see them working on? What would you like to see Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness back together?
I really like their Ed McGuinness' art. I can watch him do anything. I love his art so much. So I'm just excited that the two of them are getting back together. I mean, because they were together when the Red Hulk punched out the Watcher, and that for me it was just—I've been waiting years for someone to punch out the Watcher, so I was like, "That's the bucket."
That's a big difference between you and me, because I saw that and I was just like, "Fuck this, I quit."
Wow,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's like either way, he's getting a reaction out of you.
Yeah.
Can we say that that's the point when comics punch the Watcher? I think that's a new term that I think.
I've been in a lot of fights over people like I say that I like that. People are like, "What is wrong with you?" You know.
Well, you're allowed to like what you're right. What you like. I just thought it was stupid. But that's just me. But then again, I love what's the series that he just did with Arthur Adams?
Ultimate X.
Ultimate X. I love. Yeah. I was surprised. I read the first issue of Ultimate X. Is like, this is Jeff Loeb. Jesus Christ, this is good!
And to be fair, actually, it's the Watcher punching moment. Jeff Parker, who's writing Hulk right now and is doing an awesome job, has totally justified the Watcher punching thing and weaved it into this fascinating cosmic storyline. So, good job, Pete. Yeah. And that's it for the Week of Geek! We are going to move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Peter LePage.
All right.
Yeah.
This is part of getting back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free from Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. First hand up, guys. Come on up here. What's your name?
Ian.
Ian?
Yeah.
Audience, Ian.
Hey!
All right, Ian, so how this is going to work is I am going to, this will be your gift card that you will win.
Yeah.
Maybe. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you three questions.
Okay.
For each question, listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3, gift card yours.
All right.
So today's trivia is on Zatanna.
Okay.
Or Zatanna. Thank you, Boothman.
Oh.
Use the music.
All right. All
right. Zatanna's first appeared in what comic? Is it A, Hawkman, B, Batman, or C, your mom? So it's either... Wait for it. It'll be explained later. So it's either A, Hawkman, or B, Batman.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct! Zatanna got her powers from, is it A, a magic hat, B, her dad, or C, Joan Rivers?
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to go with B.
Yes! All right! It's all connected. All right. Zatanna owns a mansion called, is it A, Shadowcrest, B, House of Zatara, or C, Gotham City Sirens? So it's either A or it's B.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go with A.
A, Shadowcrest!
No.
Really, your joke answer wasn't your mom's house?
Oh!
I'm just saying.
Pete, what are you doing, man?
I couldn't help it. I just wanted to throw a Sirens joke in there. That comic was ridiculous.
All right.
House of Guitar sounds like it should be playing techno all day.
Yeah. But it's backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Hang on, I'm digging for it. Is it in here?
Maybe.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm looking for forward to X-Men Schism. We got to... As I pick that over. It's an amazing series. We got to read a preview copy. Oh, my God. You guys got to check it out. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, basically, it's setting up this thing where the X-Men split into two. But the first issue, art is great. It's exciting. If you're a fan of Morrison's run on X-Men, there's some fun shout-outs there. But most of all, I thought it was really funny. Like,
it's hilarious.
There's really good jokes in it, as well as it's exciting, and there's great action. So it's really cool.
And Jason Aaron's doing it, and it's got a great kind of buddy team up where it's Wolverine and Cyclops.
Yeah,
nice.
If I was going to pick up one thing, I'd pick up the Dollhouse comic is coming out tomorrow from Dark Horse. Hey, I'm interested and I'm a fan of Dollhouse. This is taking place in the post-apocalyptic world that happens after Dollhouse.
Wait. Yeah. Dollhouse is the series where the models are like
you're
highly trained.
You're thinking of either Charlie's Angels or Models, Inc., I'm sure.
No. The series with, what's his name, your boyfriend came out with.
Joss Whedon?
Yeah.
Boner-tastic. Yes. There you go. One other thing that I'll actually mention is I got to look at Captain America number one is coming out tomorrow, and it's awesome. So good. Great intro if you've never read Captain America before.
That?
I'll tell you later. If you've never read Captain America before, this is a great time to start.
You never share your toys.
That sounds weird. What about you? What are you looking for?
I'm actually looking forward to Alpha Flight number two.
Yeah.
Frank Van Lente and Gail Eaglesham can do no wrong, and I love Alpha Flight, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, and plug your stuff. What should people be checking
out? Tomorrow, Superman 713 will be on the stands. I did 10 pages in that. And then Zatanna number 15, which is my last issue of Zatanna, and that should be coming out sometime this month. I don't remember when.
And how many? Is it just one more issue of Superman till the?
Yes, so 714 comes out in August,
which
is the last pre-reboot issue of Superman.
Cool.
Then November.
Something.
We'll see you in November.
Just everybody hang out here until November. A couple of things before I go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Pete, I bet you have a couple of things to tell people.
Yes. Friend us on Facebook. That way you get to hear about the amazing guests that we have on the show. Also, New York City Drink and Draw is July 20th at Jack Dempsey's around the corner. And they give away amazing fun comic book prizes, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, cool. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jamal for being on the show. Yeah! Good man. Well, most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks,